all right? Good singing all the way around. Amen. Yeah, it's been a good day all the way around. We bless the Lord for how good God's been. Anybody, by the way, get to go over there to Dryersdale at Cold Springs? Anybody? Several people always talking about and pumped up and thinking, you know what, I'm going to go to that. And then the closer it gets, Well, I mean, I didn't plan to go at all and all that business there, but I wasn't against anybody that wanted to and so forth and so on. All right, we've got, we're ready to go tonight. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. In the book of 2 Peter, if you find the place there, in chapter number 2. In 2 Peter chapter number 2. As we look there in that chapter, if you find the place and you're able to stand, then we'll look in verse number 21. We'll back up and look at verse number 21. We'll back up to verse 19 once we're seated. But verse 21, for it had been better for them. Now I hope you're not one of them that we're talking about. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God tonight. We praise you and thank you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there's none else. I pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. In the lesson that we're looking at, I want to preach on a little while tonight. It would have been better if you had not known the way of righteousness. And what that involves in that if you're not a believer, if you're not going to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're not going to come to Him as an empty-handed beggar, if God's not going to give you repentance and give you faith toward God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, it would have been better for you to have never heard the gospel whatsoever. Now, you'd have still died and went to hell, but there's degrees of punishment that are in hell. And if you've heard the gospel and heard the gospel and heard the gospel and you've hardened yourself against the gospel, God said it'd been better if you had never known the way of righteousness, then after that you've known it, to turn from it. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out is that the world has got religion running fist and cuff, or however you want to say it, and it's on every corner. And man, the line that I listened to Joel Osteen in just a little excerpt of a thing, and he's got that nice jackass-looking grin on his face, and he's saying, some of you are wanting to know if God will forgive you. And then he lied and says, I want to say to you, God has already forgiven you. That's a lie. What about that crowd over there in Matthew 7 when Jesus said, depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity. I never knew you. See, in the lesson that we're looking at, and I realize and I know that all of that business there, that whenever we turned into it and that we looked into it, and by the way, is that you'll find that whenever you get into the preaching of the gospel and the message of God, see, they're in a religious business, so they got to make you feel good about yourself like you are without repentance. It's called religious psychology. And let me say to you that, if you will, that if you preach the word of the Lord, you may preach one sermon one day like Jesus did and have 5,000 followers that forsook and left, and then all he had was 12, and one of them was the devil. In the lesson that we're looking at, you know, the Bible said that the Apostle Paul, and he said that whenever I preach without price. In other words, he wasn't in business for God. I mean, he wasn't in business to make money off of God. He was in business, and tithes and offerings took care of that. Not you know, whenever you drive up down the road, see churches that are having garage sales, that's fine at your house, but that ain't the way God raises money for the church. Whenever you see somebody up and down the road, you know, and they've got something else. Let me just tell you how God ordained to take care of his business. God ordained tithes and offerings to take care of the work of God. And by the way, I'm going to tell you right up front, if you're not a tither, you're not a Christian. It's that simple. That's what he says. If you're not a tither, buddy, you've robbed him and you're a thief in the sight of God. Now, if you're in a tithe, and you're in a tithe, and you somehow or another can't afford to give all your tithe this week, then God says you can keep back part of it and get over a hump, but you owe him 20% on it. That's what it said in the book. See that? Now, not only are you behind, you're going to have to pay 20% interest. You can go to the bank and borrow money cheaper than that. Well, I mean, you know, I guess you can, huh? I hadn't borrowed any in a while, but, you know, I guess you can. As a result of that, you're going to find out that when we begin to look into the Bible, you'll find that we're in a religious but lost world, that I'm talking about it like animals. Do you ever notice how that these people come out of the woodwork and burning up cities and killing people, stabbing them, shooting them, and mangling them? Have you ever noticed how vile and vulgar this world that we're living in is? Have you ever noticed that? You know the reason why that is? God compares that religious but lost crowd to nothing but animals. In the next verse that we didn't read, he compares them that are an unbeliever as a dog. He compares them as a swine or a hog. I preached about a year ago on It's a Waste of Time, preaching to dogs and swine. That's a snazzy title anyway. But let me say to you that, if you will, that it's good that out of all the apostasy and out of all the hard-heartedness and out of all the unbelievers, that every now and again God reaches down and snatches one as a brand from the burning and makes him one of his own. In the lesson that we're looking at, by the way, let me say to you, is that whenever the Bible says that you're not to give that which is holy unto dog, neither cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, turn again to rend you. Let me tell you what the thing is. This morning, you know, whenever we was talking about, old Brother Randy brought out in his Sunday school lesson, and he was talking about, you know, that man by the name of Stephen. Do you realize that, no, there was a lot of people that were in the Bible, Stephen being one of them as well, and that they trampled the word underfoot and turned again to rend him, to rip him, to kill him, and they stoned him to death. Remember John the Baptist? He didn't like Herod didn't like him preaching, or especially his wife Herodias that he had got from his brother, and so as a result of that, she had him beheaded and brought on a charger before them because she hated that Baptist preacher. Remember that not only Stephen was stoned to death calling upon the Lord, what about the Apostle Paul? But if they left him for dead more than once, but when they finally stoned him at Lystra and drug him out of the city and left him for dead. There's a man can tell you what it's like. But let me tell you, all these riots and all these rebels and all these ravenous wolves, all of that's because of no religion or false religion or wickedness to the worst degree. The Lord Jesus Christ, remember that? They whipped him, they spat upon him, they smote him with their palm of their hand, they smote him with implements to be able to pick up, and the Bible said that his visage was so marred more than any man. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you right now, is that here you are sitting here before me, and you were born a sinner. You were born without hope. You were born without God. And do you realize that, though, that you can spend the rest of your life trying to preoccupy your mind and keep your mind off of what God's trying to speak to your heart about, and you'll die religious, but you'll die lost without hope and without God. It would have been better for you to have never heard the gospel than after that you've heard it to turn from it. I know what it's like. I can tell you a whole lot of the things. I used to sit in church and be under conviction. And, of course, I didn't have a phone like many of you got to where I could play on. And I realized, you know, that most of the time in the average Baptist church, you get three songs, then the offering, then another song, that's number four. And then as a result of that, you are pretty much through the song service. And as a result of that, you've knocked out half of the service. The preacher generally preaches a bunch of stories about people that he knows and about his grandma, his mother, and so forth and on. And as a result of that, whenever you've heard his life story more than 10 times, then you're probably thinking, I need something to do. But here's what happens. You go to getting into conviction. Just take these passages, these songs that are here. Kneel at the cross. There's a good one. Sing it in your mind. Kneel at the cross. And, of course, you need to sing all four verses to make up for that offering that's going to be taken later. Sing five songs and sing every one of them. And as a result of that, your preacher will be nearly about through whenever you're through all five verses or five songs of verses 3 and 4 and 5 verses apiece. But you'll die without God and go to hell. How'd you like to stand before God? I'd have hated to say, well, Lord, I went to church. Yeah, Dennis, and you played with a songbook or a baby in front of you and never listened to one word I had to say. Here you are sitting here tonight, and you're a pretty good-looking bunch. Of course, you realize and know that I've not had my glasses checked in a while. No, I can tell you're a good-looking bunch. But do you realize and know? Now stop and think about this for just a second. If you're saved tonight, you've been saved by the grace of God. That means He granted you repentance. He gave you faith. You've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. You've come forward to make it known to a congregation. And God put you in the church. And now you're about to get the baptistry. And now your lip and your life and your desires and want will be after godliness and not after your own selfish wants that you have. Now watch this. Do you know that you're sitting here tonight? Some of you got a mama that's going to bust hell wide open. You may be the only Bible they ever see. If they don't see Jesus in you, she just got through singing about it. Can they see Jesus in you? Some of you have got some other kinfolks. It may be a brother. It may be a cousin. It may be your daddy. It may be, you understand me? I'm going to tell you something. God's not looking at your mama and your daddy. God's looking at you tonight. And He wants to know, what have you done with Christ? What are you going to do with Christ? It would have been better for you to have never heard the gospel than after you heard the gospel to turn from it and to not receive Him in the free pardon of sin. Now, the religious world is doing what they can. In verse number 19 of our text that we've read, they're doing what they can. They promise liberty while they themselves are servants of corruption. In other words, they're promising you something they don't have. For of whom that if a man is overcome, the same is he that is brought into bondage. For after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after that they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Here's what he said. You know what is happening to them? The same thing that's happened to these religious dogs and these religious hogs that he tells about in the next verse. They've gone back to their own vomit. They've gone back to the wallowing in the mire from whence that they came. Now, I got to say to you, these are the same kind of people here that were riotous, that were rebels, that were like ravenous wolves. Let me tell you something right now. You'll never do better than coming to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let me say that when God comes knocking on your heart's door and He does business with you personally, that's how it happens. I've seen people, that came forward and as a result, God may have prompted somebody else. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that if you came forward when somebody else came forward, is that you're not in. But if you came forward only because somebody else came forward, you're not in. See? That's the reason why that Vacation Bible Schools, that's why that these church camps, is because they're designed and they're geared to be able to know how to somehow or another make you feel bad enough to come down in the flesh and another young lady and another young man and another person. And they're trying to get people, even if they have to tell you a sad puppy dog story. I've seen some of these folks that were, you know, especially when these girls started working for the veterinarian. And I always ribbon them because, you know, there's some tragic things. People that come in, they've got their dog and or their animal. And if somehow another can't be helped, they're going to have to be put down. And I ask every time somebody comes, hey, will they work with me at the vet's office? Really? You're a canine killer, huh? Boy, they don't. These girls used to have tears, you know, especially if they'd come in and they had killed one that week and had tears, you know. I won't tell you something right now, is that I cut up and have a lot of fun and this and that. But let me tell you, it'll be no laughing matter if you leave this world having known about the gospel, but you die like a dog or die like a swine with no regard for God in the Bible. You know what you can do with a little old swine? You can powder them up and paint them up, and you can get them all decked out, give them a good bath, and if you turn them loose, they'll run around for a little bit before they get their skirt or their little old ribbon dirty. But when you look around in a few minutes, they're out there wallowing around back in the mire and the mud of this. Why? Because you can't change their nature. That's why. See? Now I'm going to tell you, when you get saved by the grace of God, He gives you a divine nature. And whatever He gives you a divine nature, He doesn't want you, and you're not going to want to be involved in the religious pits that the world has got to offer. You're going to know the difference. I want to say in closing that, if you will, and I didn't know where we were going, how far this thing was going to, but I want to get down. There's a lot of true things about the Lord Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We'll not take time to turn to these, but we do know that it's confessed about Him that Thou art true. Not only that, but in the book of Luke, He's the true riches. Not only that, but in the book of John, you'll find that God Himself is true. And then in chapter 4 of John, He's looking for true worshipers. And let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that when you get over there finally in the book of Revelation, you're going to find out that there's a lot of things that are about Him that is true. He that is true, Revelation 3. He's got the true witness, Revelation 3, verse 14. He's holy and He's true. And let me tell you something, if you profess a good profession, it'll be because that He that is holy and true has brought you into the family of God. In closing tonight, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But make no mistake about it, if you never hear the gospel, you'll die without God and go to a devil's hell. But it would have been better if you had never heard, if you're going to hear it and never get saved by the grace of God. Let's bow our heads. And while our heads are bowed, I can remember when God personally, individually, came knocking on my heart's door and dealt with me. And as we stand to our feet and as we bow our heads, our Father, there may be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that you've been troubling their heart. We're trusting and praying because Thou art God, and beside Thee there's none else, that You'll save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Lord, trouble them even now. Trouble them when they leave from here. Trouble them, Lord, until they find themselves on their face before Thee, confessing their need for Christ. Whatever the need is, Thou knowest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.